The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
Learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment, I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Saturday, July the 5th, 2025, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled Bjorn Borg won his fifth Wimbledon title 45 years ago today. And the time is 8:14 here in London, making it 3:15 now on the east coast of America and 15 minutes past midnight on the west coast of America. So welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, so let's see what I found of interest in the news since last week's show. A few items for you here. First up, I found this interesting. Many people have spoken about it. Mark Collett made a video about it that you can find as his most recent show on his Odyssey channel or his BitChute channel. I believe that's still up, but I can't get that being as I'm in the UK. We had Kneecap playing Glastonbury, but it was actually another band called Bob Villain who got the ire of the media. I'll give you this headline from the Daily Mail. BBC Glastonbury anti-Israel scandal rages. Festival finally breaks silence to apologise over appalling festival chants broadcast to the nation. But police stay quiet on any action taken. And what jumped out at me from this is Wes Streeting made a statement the following morning on Sky News, in which he said, "I thought it was appalling, to be honest. I think the BBC and Glastonbury have got questions to answer about how we solve such a spectacle on our screens. I also think it is a pretty shameless publicity stunt that I don't want to give too much indulgence to for that reason." The reason that that jumped out at me is, of course, Wes Streeting was at the recent Bilderberg group meeting. If you go to bilderbergmeetings.org and you look up the recent list of attendees, you will see his name among them. And I've always, Bilderberg has been something that I've gone back to. I kind of started off with, really, getting all the Bilderberg lists together for a website that was going to be called Y2012, because I thought everything was going to end in 2012. So there you go. Not necessarily accurate, and even worse, I built it on something called Microsoft Publisher, which I believed it was something you could build a website on, and you could just click a button and go on the internet. But of course, that wasn't the case. Unfortunately, I didn't end up doing the site, because it wouldn't have worked anyway. Okay, so let's, carrying on in the same theme, there are some people who have been criticising the BBC's, what they perceive these people as, an anti-Palestine racism. It's been signed, essentially this is a letter, an open letter, 111 BBC journalists have signed it, but they remained anonymous because presumably they're worried about their jobs. Alongside those 111 anonymous BBC journalists, we've got 303 media figures who have actually signed their names. And that includes the actor Charles Dance, the director Mike Lee, who I know from the film Naked, which is a very difficult film to watch, but brilliantly acted by David Thewlis. I actually saw that at the cinema. And the name that jumped out at me was Miriam Margolyes. Or is it Miriam Margolyes? Because just earlier in the week, I finally got the chance to go through my Blackadder box set. And she plays this amazing character, well, amazing characters throughout the four series, and she's in one of the specials. But she pops up first in the first series, The Blackadder, an episode called The Queen of Spain's Beard, where she's to be married to the Rowan Atkinson character. And then she pops up in Blackadder 2 as a Protestant Puritan who visits. She's the aunt of Blackadder. Again, another just amazing performance. And finally, she appears in Blackadder's Christmas Carol as Queen Victoria. And really very amusing person to watch. Uses a lot of sort of her face and things like that to get the humour, a bit like Rowan Atkinson did in the first series of The Blackadder. And that kind of occupied me earlier in the week. Well, throughout the week, because I've been getting a bit tired of these, you know, alternative, independent news shows, whatever you want to call them. The big thing, as we all know, was there's been talked up this event from supposed to be some biological attack on the 4th of July. They've been bigging it up in certain places in the independent / alternative media for weeks. I've checked the news, I had to before this morning, to make sure nothing had happened. So I still checked it, so I still have to check it out. But as usual, nothing has. So I could have been wasting all my week listening to people talking, oh, there's this big thing happening on the 4th and all this sort of stuff. But I didn't want to waste my time. So what I did is I had another idea for audio commentaries, because there are some audio commentaries on, like, this Blackadder box set. There are five, something like that. So I recorded them on my computer and listened to them on my phone, because I've got the set, and I don't want to have to be sat in front of the television listening. I want to listen on my phone while I'm doing other things. And that gave me another idea. How about listening to... I remember the days before video, where certain shows like Fawlty Towers, things like that, they would be brought out on LP record and cassette tape. And people would literally buy them to listen to them. And I was like, do you not need the picture then? What I'm trying to get at is, how entertaining is it to listen to something like that? And when I was re-watching the old Blackadder episodes, I haven't seen them in years, but I was almost reciting lines. Some would say a line, and I knew the next line. It's amazing, isn't it, the human brain? You haven't seen it for all those years, but they're still in there. You just wait for some sort of little thing to connect you up to it. That's probably why I forget so much these days, because I'm like a computer that's hard drive is getting increasingly full as you get older. Maybe that is one of the things that dementia comes out of. I think it could be a lot more sinister, but that's just me. So I ended up recording the episodes as well, so I could listen to the episodes as they were. I listened to the commentaries, wasn't particularly impressed. I did the same with Fawlty Towers, because I've got the box set of that. And John Cleese does an audio commentary on every episode. There are only 12, two series of six episodes each, 1975 and 1979. I can reveal his favourite episode was the very last one, called Basil the Rat, episode 6 of 1979. And he had some very good words to say about many of the actors. Some of the commentaries he would keep, oh, the camera angle there's wrong and that line's wrong and all this sort of stuff, and got a bit irritating. But when he started talking about different people that he knew and how he knew them and stuff like that, I was tempted to, after I'd listened to all his commentaries to just delete them off, but because you record them all in real time, you know, it takes, well, it took 6 hours to record them all. And then you've got tinkering around, you know, starting the recording, ending the recording, cutting a bit off because you're not going to sit there while it's going on. It's going to overrun. That gave me another idea. My favourite series, one of my favourite series, The Sopranos, I discovered only recently that I only really liked the first series because that had a lot of comedy in it. And as soon as the second series started, it got really dark, really unpleasant, really cruel, nasty things were done that, you know, it started taking itself so seriously. And it ruined itself. I still ended up watching the whole thing all the way through because I was younger then. Oh, well, this is... But now I just can't. But you can actually listen to the first series. Maybe it's something to do with having seen it so much as I have, and it's very funny. There's still obviously some violent bits, but it's not... Probably the best thing of the DVD box set of that is they've got something called Behind the Hit, which is like a behind the scenes, and the box set was spread over 6 discs. And the first 5 had 5 minutes of this thing called Behind the Hit that was talking to all different cast members, creator David Chase, all this sort of stuff. And they're all enthusiastically talking about the show and stuff like that. And you never had something like that again. When you got the Blu-ray box set, you know, the deluxe thing, you had a couple of extras where they're sitting down having a meal and stuff like that. And it's just so boring. Whereas this extra Behind the Hit goes into so many different things, talks to so many different people, because they were just becoming successful. So they had a lot to say. They weren't so far up themselves that, oh, no, we won't do that. And funnily enough, they never put that extra on any of the subsequent releases that I'm aware of, even though it was the best extra that I ever found on a Sopranos DVD, and I would say Blu-ray, but it was never on a Blu-ray. So there you go. The extras on the series Blu-rays, and I believe the later series releases, don't include that. So anyway, it is fun, I have found, to listen to episodes of comedy and even The Sopranos, which, as I say, was, you know, there were things that really made me laugh out of that. And the last thing that I did was I've got One Foot in the Grave box set, and I listened to the very first episode of One Foot in the Grave yesterday, and it was great because I didn't really remember it at all, because I think I've only ever seen these things once. I either saw them on the telly and then again the box set, but I only saw them on the telly sporadically and certainly not from the start. But it was really funny to listen to just without watching it. So something great that we can all do, if it's something that interests you, think of something you may have and you can record that. And then when you've got nothing to listen to, rather than go over and listen to some, you know, bilge that's a load of fear porn that's never going to happen, then you can think, oh, you know, I used to listen to this, used to like this show when I was, you know, younger, what have you. Let's see how it sounds just listening to it on whatever device you used to listen to things on. And maybe you don't need the picture after all, and you can still get a nice experience from it. And that can, of course, then be something you can use when you're driving, things like that. There's just so much rubbish out there that I like to look for alternative things to listen to rather than get, you know, as I just said, drawn in by some of the bilge out there. However, I will say that the Night Shadows episode from yesterday, I'm 38 minutes in. I listened to the previous one when they started talking about the Rapture. I say they, it was only one of them because the other one couldn't get through on the phone. And I stopped it within a very short time. Because as I say, if I don't like what I'm hearing, unfortunately the two people on Night Shadows, they claim to be Christians, but they seem to have read a different Bible to me, because I'm very interested in what Jesus Christ said, and I certainly do not share a lot of their beliefs based upon what Jesus Christ said. So we'll just leave that there. But this episode, going back to the fear porn stuff, I'm interested in things like the Planet X and the pole shift and all this sort of stuff, and that's what they're talking about here in this opening part anyway. And they're website, because it's generally up on the beforeitsnews.com, but it wasn't there today, so I'll give you their direct Brighteon site. Night Shadows, Right, so it's you go to brighteon.com and the channel is called Follows the Way. And Follows is one word and The Way is one word. And the most recent show is there from yesterday, Walking in Prophetic Territory. So as I say, the first 38 minutes are interesting and I hope the rest will be too. So let's go back to the news. Jeremy Corbyn, many of you will remember him. He was kicked out of the Labour Party, but he held his Labour seat for so many years that they were still happy to elect him as an independent. So he is still an MP. Well, basically, there's a lady called Zara Sultana, which is an interesting name, and she's wants to set up, she's a Labour MP, but she's quit the Labour Party and she wants to set up a new independent party based upon the fact that so many Labour MPs rebelled against the Labour government in a recent vote on the benefits package, that she feels that she can get all of them, Jeremy Corbyn, stuff like that, to form a substantial party who want to be more left-wing than the Labour government are prepared to, well, prepared to openly admit that they're going to go to, let's just say that. And the other interesting thing that happened this week, is we have a group called Palestine Action in this country. And what they were apparently the people I mentioned before who had spray-painted planes. So they got into an RAF base, which, I believe some of these things are like nuclear bases and people can just get in and start spray painting the planes. It gets me a little bit worried about the safety of those, you know, if that base did have nuclear weapons, put it that way. And they got something called, they were called, made a prescribed organisation. Now what that means in the UK, now bear in mind, we're told that this is a democracy, so the will of the people will, that's what a democracy is supposed to be. And we know that that's not the case, okay? But that's what they tell us. That's what they sell us. But they can say that an organisation is prescribed, which means that if you were to show any support for it, you can go to jail for, get this, 14 years. So, and that's supposed to be, I looked at this past, I'm like, well, how's this, How is this not hypocritical to a democracy? However, a government might disagree with the belief system of an organisation. If we're supposed to live in a democracy where, you know, people are supposed to support what they want, and in the end, the one with the most votes wins, you can't have situations where, oh, this is illegal to exist. Otherwise, it's not a democracy, is it? That makes sense to me. I mean, I'm not interested in democracy anyway. I'm interested in the theocracy. Because man has consistently cocked up the world. Whereas, because man's law is not God's law. And God's law's in the Bible, and that's what I would have. Okay? So there wouldn't be prime ministers or kings or leaders or, oh my honourable gentlemen, and all this nonsense. There would be administrators who would run the country in accordance with God's law. And if they decided that they had better ideas than God, well, one of the laws is against blasphemy, which would be disobeying the laws of God. And there's a certain penalty for that that they will become aware of. But the interesting thing is whilst the likes of you and I in the UK, if we showed any support for a prescribed organisation, could go to prison for 14 years, which seems a little excessive for someone saying they support a certain organisation, but that's the law. You can show support for it in Parliament and not be prosecuted because you have what's known as parliamentary privilege. Well, that's not the first time I've heard of parliamentary privilege. I recall that when we were all told that it was illegal to smoke in pubs, clubs, all that sort of thing, you could still smoke in the bars in the Commons. Funny that, isn't it? So the MPs can still smoke, but everyone else in the country can't, in so-called public places. They do like giving themselves little benefits a cut above the rest. Remember what I said about the whole idea of the elite, that you know, eating a nice meal is much nicer if only we can do it. And everyone else has to eat bugs. That's the mindset. And that's the mindset reflected here. Free speech for us, but not for you. Okay, let's move on to the next article. Oh, this is a funny one. You might remember that Trump was talking about having his face added to Mount Rushmore. I mean, that guy is such an egomaniac. That alone should be enough to make you want to vomit. But there's a saying for someone like that. If he was an ice cream, he'd eat himself. But it turns out that it's unlikely to happen simply because that Mount Rushmore could collapse if it's tampered with in any way. So people start trying to chip away another face or something like that. Then that could, you know, result in the destruction of the ones that are already there. So that was a little bit of news I found interesting. And now going back to big events, because it's not just the 4th that people are talking about, and that has now passed. It was supposed to be in America, okay. We're still on the 4th in, I believe, Alaska, maybe Hawaii. I think they've got an 11-12 hour time differential from me. But certainly the East Coast and the West Coast, they've already gone into the 5th now. You might have heard of a prediction of some sort of big earthquake, something like that. It's another one of these Baba Vanga things that are supposed to, she's supposed to have predicted this, that and the other, the deaths of Freddie Mercury, Princess Diana. I'd like to see the actual text in which those were predicted and how woolly that is. But anyway, apparently a terrible disaster is going to occur today, July the 5th, 2025. And it talks about people's interpretations. So again, what does the original text say? And it could be, well, this is some of the people's interpretations, a tsunami or an earthquake around the Japan and the Philippines area. But it's gone to such an extent that there's been a noticeable drop in flight bookings to Japan on this day. So a lot of people are following that over in that part of the world, and they believe it could well happen. And interestingly, a couple of days ago, an earthquake did indeed strike Japan back on the 3rd of July. It was a 5.5 magnitude, and it was around some of the islands. And of course, sometimes you get smaller earthquakes preceding bigger ones. I'm not an earthquake expert. But, yeah. So, I hope that this prediction doesn't come true. We will see. But again, how many dates are we told about and how many actually turn into anything? Another interesting one here. You're probably aware that the author J.K. Rowling of the Harry Potter books, which I've never read, I've never watched the films, I'm very suspicious of why these were all put together, bearing in mind that these are supposed to, I understand, aimed at children, although I know a lot of adults like the books and the films. Kind of the hero is a wizard, and we're told in the Bible not to go near things such as sorcery. So again, my suspicious mind makes me think, well, who made the decisions to put something like that out? And was it just to entertain children, or was it to turn them towards sorcery? So anyway, but the author has had a long-running dispute with the so-called trans lobby. And some paedophile who was jailed for 24 years for raping a 12-year-old boy, she revealed, had been criticising her online for her transgender views. So she was basically pointing that out this week, that these are the sort of, well, I suppose the implication is these are the sort of people that have been attacking me. Look, just gone to prison for 24 years for paedophilia. But not all of them, one would presume, are like that. But that's the implication I got from the article. Maybe that's not what was meant, but that's what it meant to me. Okay. Remember I talked about how we need to look at what the mainstream media is framing for us. So we've seen how they're trying to attribute heart attacks, strokes, things like that to processed food. Well, what was the other thing that people were, say, speculating, people in the independent alternative media were speculating that the vaccines were going to do to us? Well, a lot of people talked about infertility. And that's why when I read this Daily Mail headline, again, I thought this is, well, let me just read the headline. Scientists discover microplastics in semen and female reproductive fluid and warn they could spark an infertility crisis. So again, if those people in the independent alternative media, and there were many doctors among them who predicted that the vaccines would cause infertility, it seems like there's an in before here by the mainstream media saying, oh, well, if we have a rise in infertility, it must be all these microplastics. See, we've already talked about that. You see how they could be lining all these little things up, having a little explanation ready, but always avoiding the big thing that happened in the last few years that preceded all these other things happening. So that's why it's worth, for me, going through the Daily Mail and the BBC every day since last week's show. Well, I go through it every day anyway. It's worth it just to get something like this and think, well, you know, when I read a headline like this, I think, well, that for me gives validity to the independent media's claims that the vaccines could cause infertility. Because why are they producing something like this about, oh, it could be infertility, but actually it's microplastics? Why would they want to do that? My suspicious mind again. Now, I've never been a fan of cyclists on the roads. Extremely annoying when one's driving and some of them, they'll cycle two abreast, which I think is appalling. When some of them do that and a car comes up and then they'll drop back to let a car pass. But I've seen situations where they just stay like that. You know, sod you is the attitude. Well, it turns out that 10 times more cyclists are running red lights in London, in the city of London. I'll explain that in a moment. Well, I knew that. But the city of London, a lot of people, they get confused with London, and people in America called it London. No, the City of London. Right, what the City of London is it's a square mile area in London where the financial district is based. So I once worked in that area. I worked on Fenchurch Street. So I used to get the train to London Bridge, and I'd walk across London Bridge because the only way I could get nearer was to go one stop on the tube to Bank and then walk to Fenchurch Street from there. And by the time you've gone all the way down the escalators to the underground and come all the way up the other side, you know, for the sake of one stop, you may as well just walk it. It was quite nice, actually, walking across London Bridge every morning, provided it wasn't teeming down with rain. But the interesting thing about the City of London is we've got London Police Authority, it's the Metropolitan Police. And it's the biggest police force in the country. I know many years ago it was about 30,000 officers. Whereas when I was in Dorset Police at that same time, there was 1,200. That just goes to show the difference in size of the personnel. But it doesn't cover all of London. Because the City of London area, this little square mile area, has its own police force called the City Police. The only part of London to want to be independent from the Metropolitan Police Force. So it makes you wonder, doesn't it, when you think of all the financial shenanigans that go on, why they have their own police force? I'll leave you to ponder on that yourself. Well, I couldn't understand the article that I just mentioned about 10 times more cyclists and motorists are fined for running red lights, because I'm like, well, they've got no number plate. You know what I mean? How are you going to fine them? And then I discovered that the pole, it was all connected to the electric bike firm Lime. And you've got all these bikes across London that presumably you do something and you can rent them and then drop them off at another spot or something like that. So presumably they've got all your details because you have to do something electronic to get it. And they'll pass them on to the authorities if you run a red light. So that was what kind of came out to me. But again, I just feel that cyclists, motorcyclists, all that take such liberties. And I've always found if you're queued up for a load of traffic and then at a red light and some motorbike's weaving its way through to get to the front, they should just stay at the back, shouldn't they? Weaving their way through. How come they get to jump the queue? Anyway, let's move on to another bit of potential predictive programming. I'll give you the Daily Mail headline. COVID alert. New super contagious Frankenstein variant has rocketed fourfold in just a month. Export experts warn it could be most infectious yet. So that was from a couple of days ago again, the 3rd of July. It's, well, I talked about super contagious Frankenstein variant, but it's actually called Stratus, and it's a strain of Omicron, I believe, that they called super virulent. And that was one of the things that came out, that we're going to get another lockdown. We didn't, so there's no precedent for there being a lockdown on this one, because we got a lockdown initially, as we all know, as we all experience. But how many variants and all these other things like monkeypox have they been bigging up in the mainstream media that haven't resulted in lockdowns? But it's still worth watching this space, and I still keep myself as stocked up as possible in case the hammer suddenly comes down, because it was very quick. They didn't sort of give you too much notice. And if you didn't have things in and people raided the shops, those first few days and weeks were quite difficult, especially for people who didn't have toilet paper in. Let's just say that. Okay, let's move on to... Well, that's basically... Well, actually, here's another headline, and it's from today's Daily Mail. And I'm just going to read the headline, and... You make of it what you will. You be the judge. How watching facial recognition cameras help police pluck wanted criminals off the street made me realise that only those with something to hide need to fear them, writes David Jones. There you go. Okay, let's see what's going on in the mainstream media right now. So we're going to go to AP News.com, Associated Press. Texas families plead for information on at least 23 girls missing from summer camp after floods. I understand this was a Christian camp, so I'll certainly be thinking about these girls in my prayers and any other people that were affected. Very sad. And initially I was going to try and do something satirical for the show title, because the big independent alternative news prediction about there being some release of some bioweapon on America on July the 4th hadn't happened. And when I saw this had happened, I just thought, this is still a big thing. It's very sad. And again, isn't it interesting how it's Christians that are being affected by this? Let's move on to Reuters.com. See what's happening over here. Same story at the top. See if there's anything else. Hamas says it responds to Gaza ceasefire proposal in a positive spirit. Well, I see the state of the Gaza Strip. I just don't understand, and how anyone could be. I don't know. The whole thing is, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. But let's move on to BBC News. A little drink of water. And scroll down. Let's do the BBC News top 10. So number 10, Trump signs sweeping tax and spending bill into law. This is interesting because I didn't pick up on this initially. You remember the Build Back Better with the B's actually being sixes? Well, this is big, beautiful bill. So B's are sixes, many people in the independent alternative media have been pointing out. And as it comes from Trump, I'm not at all surprised. Number 9, crowds mourn Liverpool star Jota in his Portuguese hometown. Now, it's very rare at the moment that suddenly something jumps out at you. And, oh wow, now that is big news. Now, I'm not a big football fan, but I heard this guy's name and he was a striker for Liverpool. And he and his brother were in a car and it was a Lamborghini and they crashed and they both died. And I was eating when I generally look at the news each day at lunchtime, and that day was no exception. And I was quite shocked to see that. It's very sad, actually, because he only got married something like a couple of weeks ago as well. So, yeah, that's the news there. And he was a big star in Portugal as well. So, there you go. Number 8, tiny creatures gorge, get fat, and help fight global warming. And that's something I'm just not going to even bother clicking on later to even find out what the tiny creatures are, because I know what the message is going to be. And on that note, I have had time to watch some television this week. And I bought a couple of films. I get everything I can secondhand where I can, the cheapest I can do it. I bought a film called The Fan because it was, I kind of vaguely remember it, and it was one of the last films, apart from the odd one like The Irishman, that was many years later with De Niro. But De Niro's choice of acting roles really went off the boil around the mid-90s. And in this one, he plays some deranged fan of the San Francisco baseball team, whatever they are, Giants, I believe. And I watched that, and that was why I got that. And then the other one, Crimson Tide, I'd never seen. Incidentally, both these films are directed by Tony Scott, but that wasn't the reason I got them. The reason I got The Fan I just mentioned to you, and the reason I got Crimson Tide, is it apparently had a script rewrite by Quentin Tarantino. And I thought that might be interesting. It was only after watching it that I discovered that he basically added two or three bits to it. You can tell what his bits are because one of them's talking about Star Trek and the other one's talking about comics. And they weren't particularly funny or anything about it. But the Crimson Tide film, I mean, the message that I got from that was so blatant that I just, it even left me at the end of it, what they were basically saying. And that must have been what the film was about, because the whole film was so boring. I hate suspense films. Remember like the Blair Witch Project? And it was suspense and suspense and then nothing really happens. I remember I actually went to the cinema to see that, and the amount of people that were getting up and making negative comments about it when they're walking out. And maybe there was a tendency to do that in the 90s, because that was Crimson Tide was, what was it, 94? Something like that, 95? So anyway, I then went on to watch 4 episodes of the BBC crime drama Wycliffe, which is set in Cornwall. And I have to say, these are about 50 minutes each, and they're better than anything I've watched in a long time. And I just tend to find a lot of television a lot more interesting than film. And you think about it, and you look at these two things, and they've got these huge budgets. But I don't understand why people like film more than TV, why people are prepared to go out, spend money to watch something in a cinema or a theatre, as you call it in America, when they could be watching something at home that's going to be, in many cases, a great deal better. And I'm not just talking about the length. I mean, The Godfather and The Godfather 2 are good films. They're very long films, but they are good films. However, I find most people, they when they do a film, they don't have the ability to hold the viewer's attention for the length of the film that they're presenting. And in that way, things like television that kind of does the story in a far shorter time can be a more enjoyable experience. Not sure how I got on to that one. Number 7, going back to the top 10, Pride in London returns as events struggle with falling funds. Apparently there's some sort of Pride festival in London today, I understand. Number 6, any excuse to go to pub? Culture at Crisis hit Cathedral. So it sounds like a lot of people who work there were very fond of going to the pub, doesn't it? Number 5, ketamine helped me escape my negative thoughts, then it nearly killed me. Ketamine is a horse tranquilizer. That's what I understand it to be. So why anyone would be prepared to put that into their body when it was designed for horses? I mean, I'd probably get some sort of psychosomatic reaction to it because I'd be so nervous after I took it. But yeah, whatever. Number 4, Reeves fears tax turmoil and Oasis back together. This is the What the Papers Say article. Number 3, Australian actor Julian McMahon dies age 56. I'm not, my condolences, but I have to confess I'm not sure who that is. Number 2, Texas floods kill 24 people and leave many missing from girls' summer camp. And number 1, Oasis kick off their comeback, the best they've been since the 90s. Well, they were never any good since the 90s, as far as I'm concerned. And I go further, that only their first two albums were any good. That was definitely Maybe. And then What's the Story, Morning Glory, which is probably one of the worst titles of an album I've ever heard. Although it did contain some good tracks, and the road that the cover is from is Berwick Street in London. Now, I remember when I saw it, I was like, oh, wow, there's Selector Disc and some other shops that I recognised. I used to walk down there because there was a few record shops down there. Selector Disc was one of them. Which I wasn't so keen on, because I always went for the second-hand stuff, and they had a second-hand section. But there was also Reckless Records a bit further down. They weren't ever as good as the record and tape exchanges at Notting Hill and dotted around London. There's one in Camden, one in Greenwich, what have you. So there you go. Let's go over to see what's going on now in the independent media. So we'll go over to start off with rents.com. Oh, hold on, click the wrong button. Now we're on the right button. There's a video at the top, Mark Zuckerberg's astoundingly evil buyout of the world's most brilliant AI researchers. That's the video at the top. And then if we scroll down to the headline news, the Musk-Trump feud is up and running again, apparently. The obviously think that this can occupy us, the controllers, and so Musk has been calling for the Epstein files release again. More stuff on AI here. OpenAI's new GPT-5 will be free and will change everything. How AI agents are taking over. They're primarily text-based agents, but now will be all voice soon. Let's move on to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. See what's going on over there. Trump demands Powell resignation. He's the head of the Fed, isn't he? Cites perjury to Senate committee as cause. Russia torches Kiev hours after Trump-Putin call. I had a look at that one yesterday, and Hal Turner was saying that all these different attacks on Kiev, he hadn't seen anything this... Because it's my understanding that Kiev wasn't targeted as much. It was other areas that were being targeted, whereas it seems like there was something symbolic going on at Kiev. And the headline further down, FBI and DHS issue terrorism alerts for today, July the 4th, now yesterday, 2025. So wasn't all the independent media doing it. There was obviously things that came out of the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, according to that article. Earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website. Let's see what's going on here. He has a video at the top. You won't believe what China just did in Iran by Open-Minded Thinker. That's from Rumble. It's 12 minutes. And we've got another video a little further down. Who destroyed four World Trade Center buildings by Tales of the American Empire. That's 14 minutes. Again, it's Rumble. What's the fourth one? I know, obviously, the two towers and Building 7, but that's got me stumped there. And there must be something that I'm just being really stupid about. And a quote of the day from Samuel Beckett. Ever tried, ever failed, no matter. Try again, fail better. Indeed. And let's finish off the show with the Before It's News Top 10. So let's see where we are here. Just waiting for it to load up. Scrolling down to number 10. Went up 4 hours ago, 116 people viewing. Situation update, 7/5/2025. Trump to sign it July the 4th. The greatest military operation. Trust the plan. Trust my timing. Number 9 went up 4 hours ago, 128 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted. EBS activation imminent. The US Inc. is dissolved. QFS is live. Reset has. And then the headline runs out. Number 8 went up 10 hours ago, 135 people viewing. Benjamin Fulford, weekly update, 7/4/2025. Number 7 went up 12 hours ago, 143 people viewing. And we know, 7/4/25, Trump's big week, 4th of July surprise. Beautiful new world ahead. Number 6 went up 4 hours ago, 149 people viewing. New X22 report. Trump does a blitzkrieg in July. Get ready for what's next. Number 5 went up 8 hours ago, 236 people viewing. Trump assassination thwarted. Trump unleashes the next move, 2025. Again, this is supposed to be independent alternative media, yet they're all saying their hero is the President of the United States. What is going on? If anyone was in mainstream politics when I started out looking at the independent, alternative, conspiracy type stuff, they were immediately not to be trusted because they were part of the system. So the last person that you would trust. Okay, number 4. Went up 8 hours ago, 254 people viewing. Michael Jayko, Big Intel, July the 4th, revealing MAGA infiltrators. Number 3, went up 8 hours ago, 283 people viewing. Top Trump advisor says Trump must start arrests now. First got Top Trumps in, when I was at, probably 8, 9, maybe 9, 10 years old, something like that, had the horror Trumps. There were two sets, the Devil Priest pack and the Dracula pack. And there is a guy on eBay that, I think he, hopefully he's still on there, but he makes reproductions of them. Because to buy the originals, last I looked, they were like £40 or £60 a set. And I paid a bit of money for Western gunfighters. They still do bring Top Trumps out. And yeah, they're quite fun. But anyway, number 2. Well, 8 hours ago, 352 people viewing. Juan O'Savin, Big Intel, July 4. President Trump has the path to success, 2025. And number 1 went up 8 hours ago, 393 people viewing. David Nino, The Big Beautiful Bill, Coming Reset and The End of America, Inc., 2025. Okay, before we wrap it up, for those of you who listened to the show with Peter on Tuesday, you will know that Peter is unavailable this Tuesday. I do 3 shows a week. I do this show for you. I do the traditional Christian message on Sunday for God. And I do the Tuesday show with Peter to spread God's word, because Peter has a a very committed, I think is the, there are far bigger missionary organisations out there, but the work that Peter does, for those of you who didn't hear the show, he's got a couple of barges of Bible literature being held up outside of South Africa, which has never happened before. So it sounds like they're trying to block the circulation of the Bible or biblical literature. And that's why I support Peter, because he spreads God's word and he's also a very interesting presenter and researcher. So barring any further donations, I will be back with this show next Saturday, and I'll be recording the traditional Christian message after I publish this today. So that being said, I want to thank all of you for joining me on I'm Talking To You, episode 238. You're on Paul Bunty's fifth Wimbledon title 45 years ago. Have a wonderful week, and bye for now.